This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, night 22. And this time next week, inshallah, it's going to be the last Taraweeh. And we've just got this 1 week left of ibadat that in the month of Ramadan. So may Allah grant us to do as much as we can. Ameen. We completed one section of Juz Amma. And you'd find now we'll start the last 10 surahs of the Jews. And the theme of these surahs changes. So from Surah Inna and Surah Iza Zulzilat al-Ardu Zilzalaha until Surah Humaza, it was about Qiyamah, it was about the punishments of Al-Qariyah, of Al-Khutama. It was about wasting one's life and wasting time. Wal Asr innal insana lafi khusr. Those were the themes of those surahs. Qiyamah and how people waste their times and lose out in this dunya. The last 10 surahs of the Quran have a different theme. And the next two, and now inshallah tonight is a double header. We'll be doing two surahs. Surah Fil, the surah of the elephant. And Surah Al-Quraysh. Because these two surahs go hand in hand. In fact, in Ibn Kathir, it mentions that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, it was his habit. You know, everyone has favorite surahs. So in Maghrib, he would recite Surah Al-Teen, and in the second raka'ah, he would recite Surah Al-Fil and Quraysh together. In the second raka'ah, Sayyidina Umar enjoyed those two surahs, and therefore he recited them together, because these two surahs, it's also mentioned that divinely they came down together, and you'll see why. The themes of these two surahs are basically similar, and the message is the same. Some backstory, before we begin the actual surahs, there's some historical account. Makkah, used to be called Bakka, it is the first place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consecrated, made holy, sanctified to worship Him. So even before Nabi Adam, the place where the Kaaba is today was before mankind. And it is directly parallel to the Bayt al-Ma'mur, the Haram of the angels. So Allah chose this place before mankind even was put on this dunya. That's the place of worship. And Nabi Adam made Hajj there. In fact, Arafah is mentioned. That's where Nabi Adam and our mother Hawa met one another at Arafah. And with time, the place got forgotten. And then we know Nabi Ibrahim والسلام, was instructed to put Nabi Ismail there in Mecca. There was nothing there, absolutely nothing, not even people there. That's why Nabi Ibrahim says in the Quran, "Oh Allah, you have made me leave some of my family in a valley, غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ, without any vegetation even. There aren't even plants here, but I trust them to you." Then Allah brought Nabi Ibrahim back to rebuild the Kaaba. And then he makes this dua. Nabi Ibrahim makes a dua. Couple of du'as he asks for. He says, Rabbana taqabbal minna, the famous du'a that we make. Ya Allah, accept this ibadah that we're making. Side note here, whenever we make ibadah, afterwards it's not complete until you ask Allah, please accept it. So even though you did the ibadah, the fast, we still have to ask, Ya Allah, accept my fasting. Still incomplete. So Nabi Ibrahim made this du'a with Nabi Ismail, accept from us building of this Kaaba. And then he made du'as for himself and his family. Oh Allah, make us Muslimin. Make us that we don't worship idols and bless my offspring. Then he made dua for Mecca. And he made three duas for Mecca. And they came through, and these two surahs will mention them. The first thing he said, Rabbi ij'al hadha baladan amina. Oh Allah, make this place safe. Let Mecca be a place that the people there are safe. Warzuk ahlahu min al-thamarat. And give its people food. Give them enough food to make them survive, even though this is the middle of nowhere. And then he also later on, in a few ayahs later, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا. Oh Allah, place in it a messenger. And we know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the answer of that dua of Nabi Ibrahim. So the next two surahs, or the surahs we'll discuss, go back to the first things Nabi Ibrahim asked. He asked, Oh Allah, let Mecca be safe, and let the people have food. So Surah Al-Fil is the answer to the first dua. With time, as Mecca became established and different tribes began to settle there, for a prize, why do you think people began to live in Mecca? The water, Zamzam. Adnan, you must collect your prize. Committee members are allowed to collect prizes, right? So because there was no water, no one lived there. But when Zamzam came, people started to live there. And a tribe from Yemen settled, and this is basically Nabi Ismail mixed with them, and this is the Arabs that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born from. The real center of the Arab world was Yemen, Sabah. the Queen Sheba. And Allah punished them because they committed a sin with a massive flood and they lost their power. And as time went, Mecca became a trading center. And no one could go through the desert safely. Now, Arabia is a big desert. To link Yemen to Syria, Yemen is a place of civilization. Syria is civilization. In the middle, you have this Arabian desert, the Wild West. And the only people who could travel safely were the Arabs, and particularly the Arabs of Mecca. Yemen came under the control of a group of Christians. The leader was called Abraha. Long story. But the governor of Yemen, his name was Abraha. He was a Christian. He was allied with Ethiopia. And he said, why are the Arabs still going to Mecca to worship their idols or the Kaaba? What's so special about this place? Let me build an amazing haram here in Yemen. And he built an amazing temple for Christians. And he even put idols in there. And he said, now on, O Arabs, leave Mecca, come to Yemen. It's better, it's more holy, it's more beautiful. His intention wasn't ibadah, his intention was money. Come to us and it will be the economic center again. None of the Arabs responded. No one came to his amazing temple in Yemen. And in fact, a group of Arabs, and this is haram, they went to that temple and they defecated in there. You know, they covered the walls in defecation, excrement. And they even burnt some of it and then they left. So Abraha was furious and he said, I'm going to teach these Arabs a lesson. I'm going to destroy the Kaaba. And we know the story. He got an army together. In fact, the army, they say, was even bigger than the population of Mecca. And inside it, it had elephants. And the biggest elephant was called Mahmud. And he said, this elephant is going to trample the city of Mecca down. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be born in this year. He wasn't born yet. And the chief of the Quraysh was Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was like the chief of Mecca because he dug up the well of Zamzam and the Quraysh saw him as the man in charge. So when this army came close to Mecca, the Abraha called Abdul Muttalib and said, let's have a discussion. What do you say? I'm coming to destroy this Kaaba. I'm not here to fight with anyone. Just stay out of my way. Let us trample the Kaaba down and we'll be on our business. What do you say, Abdul Muttalib? Abdul Muttalib looks at him and says, you know, before you came here, you took 200 of my camels, I'd like them back. What's this got? I'm talking about the Kaaba, and you care about camels. He says, yeah, the camels belong to me, I'm the master of those camels, but the Kaaba has his own master, and he will see to it. You give me what I'm in charge of, which are my camels, and the master of the Kaaba will see to you. Don't worry, that's between you and him. So he said, take your camels, and then Abdul Muttalib told the people of Mecca, leave Mecca and we wait and see what happens. And he made a dua to Allah. And then Abraha is now about to march into Mecca. And as he's about to enter, Mahmud, this elephant, sits down and it refuses to budge and to move. And no matter how hard they poke him and strike him and hit him, the camel will not move. When they turn him around, anyway, east, west, south, whichever direction, he moves. But when he faces the Kaaba, he sits down. And then eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds, flocks, like the sky became covered in birds and they had stones, three stones, one in their beak, two in their claws, in their talons, and they started showering these stones on this army and destroyed the people in the army. So Allah mentions this in the surah. And this was about a month or two, it says it was in Muharram, which means 2 months before the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you not seen how we dealt with the companions of the elephant? Now in this sentence, the translation doesn't give justice to the Arabic. Firstly, Allah says, أَلَمْ تَرَى. تَرَى is in the present tense. Are you not watching? So, are you not watching how we dealt with the people of the elephant? Meaning, we still do this to other dictators and oppressors. Meaning, this is a continuous process. Anyone that wants to do oppression, we are still keeping them in check. And we will keep them in check. It's not that we did it before, we're done. Keep watching. Allah is also telling the dictators today, are you not watching how we dealt with that one? We're still doing it today. Also, Allah says, not what we did to him. Allah says, how we did to them. Now, how is a bit more like, it's more scary. You say, let me show you what I'm going to do, rather how I'm going to do it. So Allah says, I'm going to show you how I did it, meaning in detail. And here Allah explains actually the details of this punishment. So Allah says, do you not see how I did it to the people, the companions of the elephant? Ashab, like Sahaba, Abu Bakr, usually when it's with living things, you don't say the king is the Sahabi of the janitor. Rather, the janitor is the Sahabi of the king, right? The one who is important, he's mentioned. And the people around him are his companions, like the Sahaba of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Understand? So Allah is saying they are the companions of the one who is superior, meaning the elephant. The elephant is the superior one than them. Allah is showing this, that in terms of relationship, the elephant was the most praiseworthy one of the rest of them, and the rest were all basically evil. Alam yaj'al, did we not change kaidahum fi tadlil? We twisted and they plotted and planned, and we changed it so that their plans were in complete disarray and in ruin. We basically wasted all their plans. Allah could have stopped Abraha in Yemen already, but Allah allowed him to continue and continue. And that's why Allah mentions when someone does evil, Allah allows, gives that person a rope and leash, and the further he goes to hang himself. So Allah says, I let him come all the way to the haram basically, and until the final moment, and then I destroyed him. Because now it's justified. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ And we sent upon them birds in huge flocks of different kinds of birds. Again, the Arabic, it would should have been وَأَرْسَلَ إِلَيْهِمْ To them, we sent to them birds. But Allah says, we sent upon them birds, like a animal, a predator attacking. So we set upon them thousands and thousands of flocks of birds, not a group of birds, many flocks of birds against them. Tarmihim bihijaratim min sijil, striking and throwing the army of Abraha with stones that were baked and they were still hot. And in Ibn Kathir it mentions that when one of these stones would strike, sometimes it would go straight through their bodies, and if it didn't kill you on impact, that part which it touched would begin to tear apart and it would become infected and eventually it would overcome your body and die. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ And when we were done with them, they were like eaten straw blown in the air. Like bits and pieces, like you can imagine, being stoned, showered, like raining stones of burning stones, until the people became like pieces of grass torn up in their body parts and their blood all thrown around. Abraha survived. And he was taken back to Yemen. Not for, the only reason was for the people of Yemen to see what happened. So this guy came to Makkah, came back from Makkah to Yemen, and he had injuries from the stones, and these injuries became infected until it covered his whole body, and basically he tore apart in front of them. And that's why Yemen didn't send another army again. Usually you send to as a revenge, they said this is some other power. Now interestingly in the surah, Allah says in the first ayah, did you not see how your Lord, Rabbuka, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your Lord dealt with him? In the next surah, Allah will say, Rabb hadha al-bayt, the Lord of this house, the Kaaba. Wouldn't that fit better if Allah said, did you not see how the Lord of the Kaaba dealt with them and wanted to destroy the Kaaba? Interesting point here. This is also a warning to the Quraysh. Because while the surah is being revealed, what are the Quraysh trying to do? To harm the Prophet ﷺ. So Allah is saying, the same one, the Lord of the Kaaba, is also the Lord of Muhammad. And look at the one who tries to harm the Kaaba, the Lord will come and he will respond. So if you try to harm Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that same Lord is going to respond. It's a warning to Quraysh as well. So this is the first thing. Nabi Ibrahim made dua, keep the city safe. And this is that dua is there, intact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next part of the dua was, O Allah, keep them, give them food. So Allah says, A'udhu billahi shaitan rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Surah Al-Quraysh. And just a side note here, Quraysh, where does the word come from? We know the word, the tribe name of the Prophet ﷺ was the tribe of Quraysh. And they asked Ibn Abbas, where do you get the name Quraysh? Where does this word come from? So Ibn Abbas says there's like a creature, a mythical creature that the Arabs would believe in that lived in the sea called a Karash, which is like a kraken. It's some animal that would destroy ships. It's a mythical creature. So they said, this animal destroys and cannot be destroyed. And it eats, but it cannot be eaten. So we are the small version of that animal, the Quraysh. Like you have Hassan, the small version of Hassan is a Hussein. So there's a Quraysh, we are the Quraysh, the small version of that. No one can eat us up. So the Quraysh, they had a special status with the Arabs. Why? Because of the Kaaba. That no one messed with them. And they could travel freely in the desert, And people thought, these people they are in charge of Allah's house. If we mess with them, Allah's gonna attack us. So they were the only tribe who traveled in the desert freely. No one attacked their caravans. So Allah says, li'ila fi Quraysh. Like this word is like allafa. Allah mu'allif bayna kulubima, like love. Allah says, do you not see, O Quraysh, basically, I'm keeping my covenant with you, O Quraysh. I have been good to you, O Quraysh. Ila fihim rihlat ash-shita, it was safe. I have my covenant, I have held my promise that you can travel freely in the winter and in the summer. No one bothers your caravans. You travel in the winter to Yemen, no one bothers you. And you travel in the summer to Syria, no one bothers you. Why? Because you are in charge of the Kaaba. So Allah says to them, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. So worship the Lord of this house. And even now, none of us worship the Kaaba. Anyone bow to the Kaaba? We face the Kaaba. But if there was no Kaaba tomorrow, we still face in that direction. We worship the Rabb of that house. Now remember, there are millions or thousands of idols around the Kaaba when this is being recited. Allah is saying, don't worship those things. Worship the one who you turn to when you are in danger. When the elephant came, they didn't go to this idol, that idol. They said, oh master of the Kaaba, help me now. One and only. So Allah says, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the one who is the Lord of this house. الَّذِي, he is the one, أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. That he feeds you from hunger and protects you from fear or being harmed. As a last point here, usually in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. We will test you with fear and hunger. Here Allah says, we protect you مِنْ جُوعِ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفِ. Why is we feed you and then protect you from fear? Why? Because the theme of the surah was you're traveling, your business is doing well. Nabi Ibrahim made a dua for what? Protect them from hunger. So Allah mentions the hunger first and fear. Because that's the theme of the surah. So it's always a reason why Allah shifts the words around in different surahs. So this was a message to the Quraysh. And we said these two surahs go together. Tomorrow we'll talk about Surah Ma'un, which is how the Quraysh responded, basically. How they responded to the blessings of Allah. Last night's question, Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Easy one. And tonight's question, what was the name of the Abyssinian governor or emperor who tried to destroy the Kaaba? Was his name Qurayshi, Julaysa, Abraha, Jahalas? What was his name? And tomorrow, inshallah, we'll have our prize giving. The prizes seem to be getting better each week, so maybe something, maybe an elephant tomorrow, inshallah, as a prize. Inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salatul layl, 9:30. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.